Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and today we're in the first chapter of Matthew with 25 verses, translation and commentary, and also part two of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. Then we have a couple of letters and also a news report. Right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to pour out His outward anointing for the ministry that people will hear directly from the throne of God, everything that the Lord wants everyone to know, that today, this very moment. Lord God, we thank and praise You, our Holy Father. We are Your sons, and we are able to call You our Father. What great manner of love the Father has for us that we are able to call ourselves the sons of God, and that You call us the sons of God, Father. Lord, we ask that You pour out Your outward anointing so that the inward anointing of us, the salvation that is in us, the permanent life that is in us, will grow and grow until we reach the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in us with You, Father, by the Holy Spirit. And all those in Radio Land, we pray that those that do not yet know You will know You after this service right now, and that they will receive You into their hearts, into their temporal spirits, so that they'll have the permanent life of the living God living in them, mingled with their temporal life, so that they'll continue reading and hearing the Word of God, so that their temporal life will be completely absorbed to the fullness of the stature of You. If they accept You today, this very hour, it's for sure that they will have immortality. And we pray, Lord, that You'll baptize them with the baptism, the outward anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that they'll be able to be used in the ministry as so many millions are being used today. Lord, we thank You and give You all the glory for everything that You're going to do on this tape. And we know that You're going to do it because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's. Where's the first letter from?
From Manhattan, New York.
Manhattan. Okay, that's New York, New York. Okay, go ahead and read it, please.
Dear Pastor Alamo, God bless this wonderful ministry for testifying the truth about Jesus Christ to the world, how He died for our sins and rose the third day. Many souls have been won through Your ministry. And allow me the opportunity to distribute this wonderful gospel literature and spread this good message of salvation. Please send me a Bible and literature. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Yours in Christ, N.M. from Manhattan, New York.
Praise the Lord. That's downtown Manhattan, Broadway and Fifth Avenue and Madison Avenue. I lived there for many years. All right, now, where's the next letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, praise the Lord. I thank God for all of the people in your ministry and you, Pastor, for the miraculous things Jesus did that were recorded that show Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and in Him we will find full truth. I have received the mass suicide literatures you sent to me, and they're working in a miraculous way that people may turn to God through His loving Son, Jesus Christ, and will...
That mass suicide piece of literature, what is the theme of it is that people are committing mass suicide by not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you talk about the biggest cult in the world, the World Council of Churches, headed by the Vatican. They're telling people just read the Missal and don't read the Bible, that it's dangerous to read the Bible. But the Bible tells us that it's dangerous if you don't, because you're committing mass suicide if you don't read the Bible and receive the Holy Spirit, if you don't receive Christ in you. And so this is what this person is writing about, is the piece of literature that the Lord gave me called Mass Suicide. Okay, go ahead then.
I have received the mass suicide literature you sent to me, and they're working in a miraculous way that people may turn to God through His loving Son, Jesus Christ, and will see true life in Him. Amen. A Muslim friend asked me to teach him if it is good or bad for them to face to the sunrise every day when they are praying.
It doesn't matter what part of, you don't have to point yourself at any of God's creation. That's a creation of God, as the sun and the moon and the stars. And the Lord really does, He wants you to worship Him rather than his creation. Worship the creator, not the creation. I never face the sun when I'm praying, and I got a real good hold on the Lord, and the Lord really speaks to me and through me, and so that's just nonsense. That's actually, it's just another false religion. Okay, forget about the sun and the moon and the stars. Just keep your mind upon Jesus, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And point your heart towards the Word of God. That's where you're supposed to point. And pray to the Lord up in heaven. And the Lord is in your heart, too. When you accept Him as your personal Savior, He's inside you. The whole Godhead bodily, Jesus with the Father by the Spirit in you. And that is the kingdom of heaven is at hand when He's in you. And I don't care. God doesn't care. I don't believe He likes it if somebody's facing the sun or the moon or whatever they call Mecca. Pray to God in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And He's everywhere. So He will be offended if you point yourself in some particular direction. Now, Daniel used to point himself to the east when he'd pray. I mean, even if the sun was going down in the west, he'd be praying, in the east. But I never think about those things. It doesn't mention any of that in the Bible at all. It's the only place that I know of, it doesn't matter where you pray, okay? You can pray in the bathroom, in the closet. Who knows where the sun is at that time, right?
Right.
And if you're blind, how would you know where it's at anyway? God honors your prayers, your heartfelt prayers. Then what?
So I want you to teach us what it is all about. Some people requested for your literature, about 100 copies to give to them. And I want you to please send me the sweatshirt, the large size that you asked me to request for. And please send some of your taped messages with a small cassette player to listen with when I go out. Thanks, and God bless you all, and I hope to hear from you and your ministry. Amen. Yours in Christ, A.A.L., from Ghana, Africa.
All right. Now, what else do you have, Sister Michelle?
A response from our witnessing line.
Okay.
One of your literature distributors from New York, Irma, called to say she had safely received her shipment of literature and Messiah books for distribution. Irma said the people in the area she regularly distributes at are coming up and asking if there is a new newsletter by Pastor Alamo. Irma said they are waiting to see the next written message. Irma said to tell Pastor Lamo, quote, "Thank you for helping me serve the Lord. You are precious in the Lord's sight," unquote. Irma also has been witnessing to Jews in New York and said she is going to put the Messiah book in their hands.
Praise the Lord. Now, do you have anything else? What's that?
I have an article.
Oh, out of where?
From WorldNet Daily.
Is that a website?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
The website address is worldnetdaily.com. The title is Historian Claims 9/11 Plot by Vatican U.S.
Yes, it was in the Sun magazine that the Vatican stated that there was going to be terrorism, horrible terrorism in the world, and everything was peaceful and calm until that. And I wrote a piece of literature stating that if the Vatican, they are not godly. It's a satanic cult. And if they're saying that, then they are the ones that are going to be bringing down this terrorism. All these terrorist attacks and things, and they said it's going to happen in the early fall. Well, I reckon my birthday's in fall, on the 20th, and I said it's going to happen. Sometimes these people are going to do some dastardly thing in around August, September, and here it came just as I knew it would when they. It was in the Sun newspaper, one of those tabloids that you pick up at the grocery stores. And some one of the brothers sent it in to me, and I said, "See, it's for sure they're going to do it, and they're the ones that's doing it." And I know without a shadow of a doubt, because of the Lord, that the whole White House and everything is involved in this thing. They and the people around the world are knowing it now. I predicted that because the Lord told me. And they're not clairvoyant at all, these devils over there. And President Bush says he'll do anything that the Vatican tells him to do, that the Pope will tell him to do. And so he was conveniently gone when all that happened, and you noticed there was not much response out of him when he heard news of it. I just sat there kind of, you know, like, what's next, you know, type of attitude. Like, yeah, I know. I knew it all the time. So it was a conspiracy, and these people are starting to know that all over the world, that there was no weapons of mass destruction. So the Vatican just wants to take over all these different countries, and they want to give us a reason to go and bomb every place in the world, and they just say, everybody's a devil. Everybody's a devil but the devil. Well, I'm not a Muslim by any stretch of the imagination. I know that's a false religion, too. And incidentally, that religion was started by the Vatican. They used the Muslims as scapegoats. They used them to do a lot of their dirty work for them. Yeah, and so they're very friendly with the Vatican. But it's for sure. These people, the people here in the United States and the government, were involved in it, and so were the Catholics. I believe this article is the one that states that there was 4,000 Catholics inside the actual World Trade Center, and they all evacuated very quickly just before these rockets, not passenger planes, but rockets, hit those buildings. No one saw any passenger plane windows in there. They were actual, like, U-2 rockets that looked outwardly like airplanes. The same thing hit the Pentagon, and there's absolute proof. I have videotapes on this that shows the actual missiles coming down. They were missiles. And there was also, I have a nephew that was involved in demolition. He worked for a company that used to demolish all those big high-rises, those old hotels like the Dunes Hotel and the Sands over in Las Vegas. And they put those different blasting caps and dynamite sticks all throughout the building, and then they push the plunger, and then they all go off in rotation. This is exactly... That place was already wired by some organization, demolition organization. It had been wired for weeks or months, just as the federal building in Oklahoma City. There's a conspiracy of a bunch of rats that need, you know, demonic rats in this country that are part of the, they say they're U.S. citizens and U.S. government. But it's really the Roman government, just exactly as the Bible stated, would be here in this world at the very last days. And it's going to be over with for them very soon, because the Lord is going to come and destroy them. And you're going to see some more earthquakes, more tsunamis, more death rate as far as cancer and leukemia, AIDS, and all the other diseases that the Lord is allowing to happen to people, heart trouble, diabetes, people dying like flies. And it's because they're so wicked, and they're going along with the one world government. And the Vatican is using this country here, its armed forces, to take over different other countries. And there are countries that really don't have enough money to come back with war. So the only recourse I think they have is it looks like this is what they're doing. I mean, you'd have to be an out-and-out dolt to believe any other way, that their only recourse is to be like sneak thieves and to come against this country with terrorism. Just to, you know, hit and run. And they're doing the same thing in England, because they know how evil the people in England are. And they're very angry at the English, because they back up the regime here in the United States. And, of course, they know that they're all Roman soldiers Roman Catholic, demonic, Antichrist government, cult. And the Bible tells about it. You know, you could read it if you wanted to. And if you go along with them, you're committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that in this world or in the world to come. And so I'm just warning you, you know, I'm just preaching the gospel of what it says in the Bible and what the Lord has been telling me. And I'm the one that let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. The cat is out of the bag, tra-la. The cat is out of the bag. And what are they doing? They're so frightened in the White House now because everybody knows that the cat is out of the bag. They know where it's coming from now. And when a little Piper Cub flies over the White House and the Senate and the Congress, there's an alert, an alarm that goes off, and you can see them scattering like a bunch of cockroaches when you throw the light on out in the ghetto someplace. Man, it's just amazing how guilty they know they are. They ain't all part of this whole scene. You know, they're like a bunch of rats trying to get off the ship, but yet they don't want off the ship because they got power and position, and they got some money and prestige, and they got their little girlfriends and all their side girlfriends, and then their girlfriends' girlfriends, and all this other stuff going for them, and some of them are just out and out homos, and they don't want to leave their little boyfriends either. You know, it's a sick mess, but look at you boys over there in the White House. You better repent. You know, and we've seen some government agencies like Mr. Peeler fess up and tell what you weasels are out there. No weasels are going to enter the kingdom of heaven, so you better get yourself right with the Lord. Okay, because just as surely as he said these things would be happening in the last days, just that surely you're going to be standing before the judgment bar of God. And then what? Okay, you're going to be like that king in the book of Daniel. Your knees are going to be smiting one against the other, and you're going to need to have your panties changed. Okay, you're going to need a diaper or a panty change. But then it's going to be too late for you because you won't be able to repent then. Okay, boys, now get with it. You know, because God's not kidding, and for sure I'm not either. Okay? I'm telling you right straight what it is. Now, you threw me in prison once for saying this stuff. You made up false charges on me about, oh, every kind of ungodly thing on the face of the earth, to where you just figured that nobody's going to believe what I'm saying, but they're believing it, okay? You have to drum up something bigger and better now, okay? You bunch of liars. You scoundrels. Okay, then what? Come on, let's hear the rest of this report. Now, this is actually echoing what I said in the first place, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
Egyptian tells Saudi TV of, quote, assignment, unquote, by World Council of Churches.
World Council of Churches is headed by the Vatican. Okay, then what? They assigned. That was one of their assignments, is to blow up the World Trade Center. And they're the same ones that's blowing up all those buildings over there in the buses and everything in England or the UK. I was there in England. I was in Rome, too. They came after me with machine guns because I distributed literature with one of the Lord's followers, one of the people that are in my church. We just wallpapered the Rome airport and around the Vatican and everything. And boy, they got uptight. They had guards in the middle of the street with machine guns. And when we tried to go in to see the Pope, I just wanted to talk as witness to him personally. Swiss guards were there with Uzi Hebrew machine guns telling us you can't go in there. And so the friend that I was with was from France, from Nice, France, and he didn't understand good English. I said, turn the car around. These guys are going to shoot. They mean business. He said, well, I have to make a U-turn. He says, they don't understand that. Now just back up. Put the thing in reverse. No, he went and made a U-turn. I thought we were going to get shot for sure. But anyway, let's hear some more.
June 11th, 2005. An Egyptian historian claimed on Saudi television that the United States helped carry out a Vatican plot to destroy Islam by orchestrating the 9/11 attacks on, quote, assignment, unquote, by the Vatican World Council of Churches, which includes the Satan-worshipping cults, all these having nothing to do with Christianity.
We have pictures of the Pope with Satan-worshipping cults, such as Hare Krishna, and a real devil worshipping other cults. I mean, they're actually where they got these moons and cats hanging off their head, and they got these pointed hats with moons and cats and all kinds of stars and all these satanic emblems on them. Okay, then what?
Professor Zainab Abd al-Aziz told Saudi Iraq TV on May 26th interview that the decision to impose one religion over the entire world was made in the Second Vatican Council in 1965.
Right. What they want to do is make a one-world government, one-world church, or this one-world religion. It all has to be Catholicism, and anyone that isn't a Catholic is a cult to them. And, you know, like Jesus is a cult to the Vatican. Because they just, they're the very ones, the Roman soldiers, that nailed Jesus to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so they're definitely satanic. I mean, this is the Antichrist regime that you're living in right now. And you better not join it if you want to go to heaven. Okay, then what?
According to the Middle East Media Research Institute, which posted a clip of the program, Abd al-Aziz claimed the Vatican's decision to, quote, Catholicize the world, unquote, included a plan first to, quote, absolve the Jews of the blood of Christ, unquote. That was the basis for recognizing Israel, the professor said.
See, they absolved them, and they says, we forgive, we are so sorry that we didn't help the Jews more in World War II, when in reality they're the ones that killed them. They're the very ones. They were all Catholics that killed the Jews, and that is so provable. My God, there's like thousands of books written on it, and so many testimonials. There were like nuns and Catholic priests and cardinals that were present watching it and actually carrying it out. All these SS troops were Catholics. We see some of them that were priests. We have pictures of them in their priest outfits. And then we have them in their Nazi SS outfits with their swastikas on their arms and the eagles on their shirts, and they're Nazis. And they hate Jews. They told one of my friends when he was there, he was the owner of Cashbox magazine, one of the Bibles of the record industry, told him he didn't know that George Albert was a Jew. And he says, "Where are all these coffins down here?" He says, "There are enemies." And he said, "Who are your enemies?" And he says, "The Jews." He said, "Get me out of here, you blankety blank, blankety blank." And George had a real salty mouth, and they moved. And he says, "I'll get you. Get me out of here." They took him in on a motorcade because the Pope had recorded an album, and he wanted George to put him on the charts. That's something, you know, that the Pope wanted to be on the charts. And I said, "George, are you kidding?" He said, "No. They flew me out there." And he says, "They didn't know I was Jewish." He says, "Tony, everybody knows what you're saying is the truth, but what should we do? What can we do?" I says, "Pray, because prayer, see, we can't use carnal weapons, but we can call on the Lord to absolutely either get them saved or to destroy them." And so he says, "You know, if we pray that God will save their souls, and they don't get saved, God will pour coals of fire on their heads." Okay, so we're very merciful. I mean, we don't want them to, even though they kill people and they slaughter them and throw them in prison on false charges and make up all kinds of stories and put it into the news media to where people just really look at us narrowly. That's kind of hard for most people to take, but it has never caused me to want to leave the Lord at all. So if that's what they're trying to do is discourage me, you devils have failed, okay, with me, okay, because I'm still preaching the gospel and pulling the sheets and blankets off of you, pulling the lid right off of you, bunch of snakes, you worms, you vipers. And this is what Jesus called them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on.
Abd al-Aziz explained that since Pope John Paul II's plan to Catholicize the world by 2000 was not accomplished, The, quote, Vatican's World Council of Churches assigned this mission to the U.S. in January 2001, since the U.S. is the world's unrivaled military power, unquote.
Right, so the mission that was assigned to us is for us to destroy the World Trade Center. That's who did it. It wasn't a bunch of Arabs. This guy they got in prison over there is, they're going to say I'm real unpatriotic. But that guy, they called me a devil for uncovering them. They call anybody a devil that won't join the Catholic cult. So we're the devils and they're the good guys. Isn't that something? But all I'm doing is preaching the gospel to you and telling you the truth. And most people know that I'm telling the truth. Even the government, when I was in court trying to get out on bail, the prosecutor says, he tells everybody that we're the devil, and they believe him. And everybody, the press was there from all over the world. I mean, the place was so packed out, they had to put bleachers in there. And all of them went, oh. Like that when the prosecutor said that. And the people believe it. They come from far and wide to hear old Tony Alamos talk about these weasels. You know, this trouble is coming. This is all contrived. All these things that you see happening in the world are not happening accidentally. They're like absolute, it's a conspiracy. And if you can't see that by now, I've been preaching this. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's an actual conspiracy, all right? And it's outlined in the Bible very clearly. You ought to read the Bible so you don't have to go to hell, and so you should enter heaven. All right, continue on.
The mission, he claimed, was for the U.S. to, quote, fabricate the show, unquote, of September 11th, 2001. The host of the Saudi TV program asked, quote, you mean to say that the Vatican's World Council of Churches delegated the mission of Catholicizing of the world to the U.S., unquote? Abd al-Aziz replied, quote, yes, and how could the U.S. win legitimacy for this without anyone saying that they are perpetrating massacres and waging a crusade war? It fabricated the 9/11 show. I call it a fabrication because much has been written on this. We are also to blame. Why do we accept a single perspective? Countless books were written, some of which were even translated into Arabic, like Theory, Mason's 9/11, The Appalling Fraud, and Pentagate like Watergate. He brings documents to prove that the method used in destroying the three towers was, quote, controlled demolition, unquote.
Right, just like my little nephew used to help demolish the different structures, not only in Las Vegas, but all over the country. They get a lot of money for blowing those buildings up. And it's very easy to do. He was telling me, that it was very easy. And that's what they did, is they snuck in. They didn't even have to sneak in because the guards that were there at the World Trade Center were Catholics. And they all evacuated just before the thing blew up, before the rockets hit. Those were not American airliners, my dear friend. And that was no American airline that hit the Pentagon. Or B-747s. It wasn't that at all. I have concrete proof on videotape that shows that a 747 would have made a bigger hole in that building than that, and that a 747 could not have pancaked that to World Trade Center like it did. It had demolition dynamite, blasting caps, whatever they used in there to finish the place off. And there are many people on the tape that were interviewed that said they heard blasts, one blast after the other, inside the building, just as they did when they saw the Dunes Hotel go down, the Aladdin Hotel and the Desert Inn, or all the different hotels that they blew down in Las Vegas, and other buildings that are well-known buildings that they've demolish it to build up new other buildings. Okay? All right, then what?
For example, Abd al-Aziz said, quote, 4,000 Catholics caught influenza on the exact day. They set a timer and all 4,000... unquote. The host interrupted, quote, "By God, you cracked me up. They all set a timer and got influenza on the same day, so the building was completely empty of Catholics," unquote. Abd al-Aziz, quote, "Much has been written about this. 150 congressmen demanded an inquiry," unquote.
The congressmen. Congressmen demanded an inquiry? That was just, they demand inquiries because they know that there won't be one. If I was one of those people, I would demand an inquiry also, because I know they're not going to do anything, and I'm doing just what they want. They want to make everybody believe that all these people that are senators, congressmen, judges, and in the White House, that they're all pro-USA. They're the unpatriotic ones, not me. Okay, I'm very patriotic. I'd love to run those monkeys out of here. Okay? On a fast one leaving town, or a fast one leaving this country. You got to put them on the American Airlines and send them out of here. Now we go into a very radically different subject here. Now we go into Matthew chapter 1. All right. Praise the Lord.
King James Version?
We've got a pretty long tape here. We better go with the translation because we've got 25 verses here, and then we'll do commentary afterwards. Everybody's reading their King James Version anyway, more than likely. Okay, then what? Go ahead.
The record of Jesus' ancestors, verse 1. This is the record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of King David and of Abraham. Verse 2. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Verse 3. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. Their mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Verse 4. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashor. Nashor was the father of Salmon.
See, the King James Version in this genealogy to prove without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was a Jew, that he was born, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the root of Jesse, the line from the tribe of Judah. He is a Jew, and it's just telling all these the lineage here, so it would be the same in the King James Version, all right? So that's why we're just reading from the translation. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 5. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boab was the father of Obed. His mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Verse 6. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. His mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Verse 7. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asaph. Verse 8. Asaph was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Verse 9. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Verse 10. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amos. Amos was the father of Josiah. Verse 11. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers born at the time of the exile to Babylon. Verse 12. After the Babylonian exile, Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Verse 13. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud. Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Verse 14. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Achim. Achim was the father of Eliud. Verse 15. Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Verse 16. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Verse 17. All those listed above includes 14 generations from Abraham to King David, and 14 from David's time to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. The birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Verse 18. Now this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19.
Now, according to history, Mary was only about 12 to 13 years old at that time, and some people even say 11 years old. Right, because the Bible says, let the young girls, the young women marry, because they are, and let them attend to the house and their children. And she, and Joseph was very old. He was a very old man. But there's a whole history books on that. Okay, and then go ahead.
Verse 19. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly and put her to death so as not to do this thing publicly. Verse 20. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Quote, Joseph, son of David.
The reason he was going to put her to death is because that's the death penalty if anyone commits adultery. And when a girl is espoused or a woman is espoused to a man, if she's still a virgin because she hasn't reached the age of puberty yet, which in the Middle East happens anywhere from 11 to 13, 14 years old, when they reach puberty, that's the time when they can have babies. And this you'll find also in Webster Dictionary under the word puberty, which occurs in women anywhere from 11 to 14 years old, sometimes a little later, 15, but in the hotter climates it happens when they're younger. And so that is, read that last statement there.
As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel...
Yeah, and so like when they commit adultery, back the actual law is that they, and the law is not over with, is they're to be put to death. Now, a lot of guys today, they beat their wife up and throw them out of the house when they do that, and they call that domestic violence. But in the eyes of God, I mean, they deserve, you know, I would never do that to a female that committed adultery. I'd just send her out of the house and tell her to get out. That would be it. And, but that's what a lot of these things are, is the men are whipping their wives because they commit adultery. And some people just think that is atrocious. But they ought to be very happy, these women, that that's all that's happening, because actually if people were godly, they'd be stoning these women to death instead of just beating them up or throwing them outside the house. When they came to Jesus with the woman that had been caught in the very act of adultery, they asked him, Master, the word says that you're to be, the law says that you're there to be put to death. We caught her in the very act of adultery. Jesus didn't say, no, the law is over with. He says, that's right. Now stone her to death. You who have no sin. So he didn't abolish the law at all. He says, go ahead, stone her. Okay, read it for yourself. All right? So that law isn't over with, but. He said, but the one of you that is without sin, they were probably, a lot of people believe that they were the very ones that were committing adultery with her. And so they all felt guilty because she had done that, and they were committing adultery too. So they'd all have to be stoned to death, so they just got out of there right quick. And the Lord says, where are your accusers? How come they're not stoning you to death, in other words? Because he wouldn't have stopped them if they were righteous. And she says, I have done. She says, well, I don't condemn you either, but go and sin no more. That's the worst thing happen to you. Don't you ever commit adultery again, because not only will you die, but you're going to go to hell, and there'll be like a punishment for you from the moment you die until eternity ends, and eternity never ends. You're going to be gnashing and chewing on your tongue and wishing to God that you had never been born. Now, that's the real gospel, friends. If no one tells that to you, then if they tell you any other gospel, they're liars. Then what else?
Verse 20. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Quote, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23, quote, look, exclamation point, the virgin will conceive a child, She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, unquote. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife. Verse 25, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
All right, now we have commentary.
Chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Joseph reacted to the implications of Mary's pregnancy by deciding to not only break off the engagement, as many people say, but also to kill her as the law prescribed.
You know, put her to death for adultery. Privately. Then what else?
But do it privately. Although he was a man of principle and well intentions, his choice was still short-sighted because he didn't know. The angel hadn't visited him yet. Attitudes and decisions based upon incomplete knowledge or understanding are significant problems related to knowing the Lord in the Spirit. Patience, honesty, and perseverance in communication with the Lord are crucial to preventing far-reaching mistakes or sins, such as broken relationships.
All right, now that was Matthew chapter 1 with this 25 verses, translation and commentary. And now we have Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, part 2.
Every person that is saved, every person that is a Christian, has the experience of the first step, Christ entering into us to become our permanent life, our immortality, our eternal life. If anyone has not experienced this first step, there's no way that he is saved, and he is not saved. Neither can he speak of the experiences of life which follow concerning the second step and all the other steps.
The experiences of God's life being lived out in them and through them. You will not be able to experience that unless God, in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is being in you and being lived out in you. You must let the Lord live out his life in and through you, or you're not saved. Okay, then what?
Neither can he speak of the experiences of life which follow concerning the second step and all the other steps, Christ living and dwelling within them. Every believing Christian that seeks the Lord is in the process of this experience. As for the third step, Christ being formed in us, many have not attained to this point, this stage, this level of Christianity. When we come to the fourth step of Christ being made manifested through us, even fewer Christians have experienced it. And finally, as to the fifth step, Christ being matured in us, and we being matured in his permanent life, and full of his permanent stature, people with this experience can rarely be found in all the churches on earth today. Therefore, in this lesson of being full of the stature of Christ, there is not much that I can say. You just simply list a few main points and discuss them briefly.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. You just heard chapter 1 of Matthew, and also its commentary in part 2 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ. And you've heard some pretty salty stuff, things that I've been preaching for a long time and telling you about, how this country is, being used by the Vatican to muscle everybody into Catholicism. If you don't do what they say, then you're a devil, and we're going to bomb you. You, your women, your children, everybody. And this is like bruta, in the highest form. It's like Antichrist in its highest form. And to Antichrist means against God, against Christ, against God's word, and against all the Christians that are carrying God's word and preaching to you. Our very life is on the line for trying getting the truth to you. I'm not trying to get it to you. Can't you tell? I'm getting it to you. So until mañana, until tomorrow, chapter 2 of Matthew and part 3 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ, keep looking up. Keep your mind stayed upon the Word of God. Meditate in these things day and night in God's Word, because without that you will not have the permanent life of God, the everlasting immortality that God promises you for letting him live in you and work in you and keeping your mind on His Word, reading it and filling yourself up with it. So until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.